Turn to Psalm 121 in the Blue Bible, that is on page 516. And I'm going to read Psalm 121 all the way to 123, through 123. If you got an electronic device, you can still turn there and look along. All right, hear from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. To you I lift up my eyes. O you who are enthroned in the heaven, behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. A little bit ago, we sang, "Till that day, I will keep my eyes on you." And we're in a little series here called Preparing for What is Ahead, beginning the new year. You heard Ashanti a couple weeks ago preach from Psalm 25 about preparing for potential despair and hardship that comes. Last week, I wanted us to kind of broaden our vision of God and prepare for the new year with a sense of awe. If I ask you a question today, it would be, for 2020, what are you going to set your eyes upon? Or for the next decade, what will your eyes be set upon? Hedonism says, set your eyes on pleasure. Intellectualism says, set your eyes on knowledge. Pantheism says, God is everywhere. You can find him anywhere. Atheism says there is no God. It doesn't matter where you look. Politicism says politics is our savior, and we get all bound up within it. 1957, Jack Kerouac published his book On the Road, which was taken from some of his journals from the 1940s, just scribbling away. He wrote it in 3 weeks. In one sheet of paper that was just unrolled, typed it all the way out, and it was about his travels all across the country with sort of no destination but the amplification of music along the way, jazz in particular, drugs animating his journey. On the Road. If you stand at the Art Institute of Chicago and look straight west and could see all the way to Santa Monica, you would see Route 67, that most famous of cities in Chicago. Yes, Art Institute of Chicago at 66. I said 67. I was off by one. Yeah, I meant 66. When I say 67, hear 66, okay? That most famous of roads that takes you 2,448 miles from Chicago, Illinois to Santa Monica, California. I say this because these three texts are called Songs of Ascent. They were written as a kind of soundtrack for the Jews who were called from throughout Israel to come to Jerusalem three times a year for various feasts. They were, you know how it is when you are on a road trip, the first thing you want to do is make sure that you have some music for the way. The songs of ascent are the kind of melody and harmony that provide strength and solidarity for God's people as they travel their way to Jerusalem. Or as Jake and Elwood put it, it's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it on the road. Probably the most prolific image of life as a journey and setting one's eyes on something else is the imagery of that Pilgrim's Progress, written 342 years ago by John Bunyan, the Puritan writer. 12 years he's in a jail cell. And he writes the story of young pilgrim who has an enormous burden upon his back, a burden that he cannot be rid of until someone speaks to him the gospel and it falls from his back and he journeys to what is called the celestial city, the city that is beyond. And through trials and temptations, he makes it there, passing through the waters of death. So today, I just want to present you with these three psalms for the journey of 2020 or even the decade. And just as every modern trip is incomplete without a playlist, I just want to give you these three songs, which really just have three images in them. One clear image in each psalm that gives us a picture of who God is, to set our eyes upon that for the journey of 2020. So will you bow with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we bow before you and we ask that you would set our eyes not on the things of this world, not on the pleasures of this world, not on the despair of this world, but lift our eyes up, if you would, today to see something else. Lift our eyes up past the hills. Lift our eyes up to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Three very simple statements. God's my help, God is my gatherer, and God is my great master and ruler. The image that is in Psalm 121 is of the hills. Very first line, which we're going to sing at the end of this service. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes. Do you like that declaration? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The land of Jerusalem is surrounded by crags and small hills. If you've been to the Badlands, the terrain of the Badlands, all sort of eroded, looks a little bit about like the land around Jerusalem, so that people, when they're walking from throughout Judea, the Jews on their way to Jerusalem for Passover or for Pentecost or for the Feast of Tabernacles, on their way there, they'd see the hills. And you can imagine them stumbling, tired, in the heat of the day, needing to press on, and then saying to themselves, where's my help going to come? And then lifting their eyes up to the hills and reminding themselves that there is someone who created the heavens and the earth, and then resolving to put their hope in that God. The city of Jerusalem rests on a limestone plateau 2,500 feet above sea level, and it's located in this central hill country, and it is actually four mounts, not just one mount. We usually only know of one of the mounts, Mount Zion, but there's actually Mount Moriah and then Acra, and then Bethesda is also part of what makes up Jerusalem. About 4 or 5 years ago, I had the chance to visit my daughter who was in Jerusalem, and I had the most uncanny experience because I was preaching on the life of David and then flew into Jordan and then took a puddle jumper over to Israel and then drove in the middle of the night. And the Bible college that I was going to visit is located on Mount Zion. And I drove this little tiny road to the historic place that is known as sort of the headquarters of God's activity throughout history, known as Mount Zion. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. The imagery is this. The pilgrim is thinking of his journey, and it moves sort of from lesser to greater, from the least of the pilgrims to the next stage of the size of the hills, and then he looks up even higher and says that he's thinking of the creator of the heavens and earth, and then it scales all the way down again to speak of this great and powerful God as caring about the foot and the movement of the pilgrims themselves. There's something strengthening and liberating about standing before nature and looking for the voice of God in it, of 20-foot waves pounding on Lake Michigan, or standing, if you ever have the opportunity, as I said last week, at the Rockies and seeing the mountains. There's a sense in which you realize your own smallness. And now what the psalmist does is he says that God cares about even the smallest movement of his foot. Actually, in the language of it, verse 3 is a little bit more like an appeal. Don't let my foot be mealed. Don't let my foot be moved. And then he says, he who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. You can imagine the pilgrim as they're walking their way, feeling the hot sun, not having the privilege of carrying a bottle of ice water, or being able to walk into a nice hotel with air conditioning and feeling the sun being about to smite them. And then they remember God is awake for the journey. What does a foot mean to the Creator? Why would he care about the smallest foot? And yet you see the intimacy of the vastness of God and yet his minute care. So I'll just say to you, beginning of 2020, as we close out this series, what you and I need is a God who is a keeper, is a God who is a helper. Where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord. The word there is Azer, which can also be translated as warrior, someone who will fight on our behalf. The New Testament says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, this is not to say this psalm is a kind of hyperbole, I will say. Doesn't mean that Christians will never stumble. You stumbled in 2019, I'm sure. You're going to stumble in 2020. But what it's doing is causing the psalmist to lift up his eyes to the source of strength and the source of power. Or another way to think of it, God is our helper. But he doesn't always give us the help that we want. Instead, he always gives us the help that we need. It doesn't mean that he will always answer our prayers in the way that we want them to be answered, but he is answering our prayers. And we live in a fallen world, and as Pastor Miles said at the beginning, the help that we need the most in this life is the help with our holiness, is the help with our salvation. God is not merely a genie or personal assistant. Sometimes today, you're just sitting there and Siri turns on and like, yes, what do you, and it's like some sort of random malfunction in your phone because they're always listening to us. God is not Siri, but he is listening all the time. When you go to sleep at night, this psalm is saying, he is not slumbering, he is not sleeping. You cannot really live your life without him. You cannot really face death without him. So I'm asking you in 2020, get your eyes up. Get your eyes up to where your help comes from, off the ground and up to the mountains. In other words, you have a destination that should allow you for motivation on this journey that you are on. So God is your help. That's Psalm 121. Secondly, if there's a picture of what God is like in Psalm 121, it's God as a helper and as a keeper. In Psalm 122, it's God as a gatherer. And the image moves from the hills around Jerusalem to the city itself. And then he compares this city, the psalmist does, on this psalm of ascent, to a place of protection and strength and unity that is needing peace. It's almost as if they're on the journey in Psalm 121, and then in Psalm 122, they have arrived in Jerusalem. Look at verse 1. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This is David writing, and he says, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And then you get this picture of security, of unity. He says, Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. There's a great strength in thinking of God as your helper, but there's also a great strength in the mass of the community as well. You've been to a stadium before and seen what it is like when people rise with one accord, when they shout with one voice. And what he's picturing now, David is not the random pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem, but they have gathered together and they are in the city. When I was there in Jerusalem a few years ago, I did actually see a procession of about 4,000 Jews on their way up the mountain singing and chanting. Whereas in a stadium we go for pleasure and for leisure, here they are going to gather to worship God. And they are coming with the king at the very center. It says the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, that is the 12 tribes of Israel, these three times a year would gather together in great strength. It says, was decreed for the Lord. Why? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. There is a kind of strength when the people of God gather together to lift up their voices together. It's wonderful to worship God on your own in the quietness of your condo or your apartment somewhere, but there is something else that happens when you come together with the people of God and you are worshiping together. And David is saying, I'm glad that the tribes are coming together on this day. It says, there are thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. And there's a prayer embedded here for peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. There is in the assembled people of God a kind of peace and security. It speaks of walls because the first definition of a city was really just a village that had a wall around it. It was a place of protection. And so David is now picturing what it's like to have peace because the people are gathered together in security. It says, for my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So, there's strength for the gathered tribes. In other words, what do you need as a pilgrim on your way, not to the historical city, which is called Jerusalem, but to what's called the celestial city that we see in Revelation chapter 21, the city of God towards which all humanity is going. You need a community around you that will build walls of security and of strength and of solidarity. In the same way, in the tragic cotton fields of North America, of United States America, that the slaves found subversive strength through song, these pilgrims, in the midst of opposition, are finding solidarity and strength by setting their eyes on who God is and singing songs together. God, our gatherer, calls us literally to gather together, to be a people who are gathered. You can imagine some pilgrim who's called to go to Jerusalem saying, nah, I don't really want to go today. I'm too tired. And being told, yeah, but there's going to be a king there in the midst. You might just get to see the king. if you go, or someone else saying, I'm too discouraged today to go. And someone else saying, yes. But you might find someone else there who is also discouraged, and you might be able also to encourage them. Oh, Amy and I, every couple of years, get to help start a community group. We did that this year. And just this last Thursday, I was so thankful for the kind of vibrancy of the community of people who didn't know each other 4 months ago, loving one another and caring for one another and walking through infertility and childbirth and anger and bitterness. David has given us a picture of the strength of the gathered people of God. And in the New Testament, the picture of the church becomes the picture of the temple as the people of God, the people as the city of God, the people as the very stones that build up God's community. So when we gather here to sing, we give strength to one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25 says, don't forsake your assembling together. Keep having the tribes come together in order to give strength to one another, that you might encourage one another all the more, it says, as the day is drawing near. Song 1 says, God is my helper. Song 2 says, God is my gatherer. That God's people, in a sense, are your strength as we gather around throne. God is a gatherer who calls us into community, which is difficult, out of our isolation, to be a strength towards others in loneliness or healing from violence or isolation or cancer. And so in 2020, let's heed this call to be glad, to be with the people of God, and to pray for peace in Jerusalem, yes, but peace also within this city. That peace would be within our walls in a city that is torn apart by violence. God calls us to be a house, 1 Timothy 3, to be his household. Ephesians 2, to be a temple. 1 Peter 3, to be his living stones. And so as they gathered as tribes from all across Israel, may God gather, yes, from across the 77 neighborhoods of Chicago to the center of the city, but also in small cities all over this city to be places of peace and strength and security. What are your eyes upon? May they be upon the hills. May they be upon the city as a place of security. And the last image, it kind of moves in a progression from this journey to the city, and then it's as if they're right in the throne room, able to see the king. It moves from God as the one who is your helper and gatherer to now just God as a master and king. It moves from the hills to the city to the king himself. But it returns to the similar imagery of verse 1 and 121. He says, now to you I lift up my eyes. You can see that these songs of ascent, they go together. I lift up my eyes to you who are enthroned in the heavens. Before he looked at the hills, and now he's looking to the king himself as if he can see the one who is enthroned in heaven. And now I want you to see the intimacy and attentiveness of verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of the master, the eyes again, what are you looking at? As the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. If you can picture the imagery, it's of a servant looking for the slightest motion of the master's hand. It's like Mr. Carson in Downton Abbey. If you think of royal attentiveness, the pantry, the wine cellar, the dining room is attentive. Or picture the Queen of England and how those who stand at arms pivot wherever she... There's a sense of attentiveness. And what the psalmist is calling you to, What I'm calling you to in 2020 is a kind of attentiveness to the minute motions of God. So focused on his leading, his work, that you pivot whichever way he moves. The eyes of the servant here are looking to the hand of the master for direction, for protection, for provision, specifically for mercy. Actually, it's hard for me when I think of this kind of minute attentiveness. Cats are great and everything, but they just kind of ignore you. Whereas if you have, say, a golden retriever, their eyes are fixed on you. Even the slightest motion of the hand is like an indication that their ears are about to get rubbed or that they're about to get a kind of treat. I grew up with golden retrievers, and they're the kind of dog like where you stand up in the living room and start to go towards the kitchen, and if it was a dialogue, it'd be like, where are you going? Can I come with you? I'm just going to the kitchen to get a glass of water. Oh, can I come with you? And you make it to the kitchen, and they're all eager, you know, kind of tail wagging, wanting to, and then you go back and sit down, and they're a little bit disappointed. But my dog, the way it works sometimes is if I stand up, it tries to guess where I'm going to go. It's trying to leave. It's like, okay, you're going to go upstairs? And it kind of looks over its shoulder. No, guessed wrong there. But a minute attentiveness, and that is what the psalmist is talking about here. A heart that is so loyal, a heart that is so fixed on the master, on the king, that the slightest motion of the king becomes the stirring in the life of the subject. Can I come with you? Oh God, where are you going? Oh God, what are you doing? Where is the pillar of fire going? Where is the pillar of cloud going? And may I accompany you? So it is to be in the church that the slightest whisper of the movement of the Spirit of God is to be followed by God's people. But really, this is about protection and provision in a hardened world among the proud, among the unjust. It's attentiveness, yes, and readiness. But it's really attentiveness and readiness for God to pour out his mercy. Verse 3 says, have mercy upon us, O Lord. And his mercy in a world that is corrupted. So he says, have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we've had enough, more than enough, of the contempt of this world. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. And so I'll just say to Holy Trinity, the beginning of this decade, may we be a people who are attentive to the word of God, to the leading of God, to the movement of God, to the hand of the master. 1730, Alexander Pope engraved on the collar of one of his puppies this little epigram, and then he gave this puppy to the Prince of Wales. A little poem on this dog's collar said, I am His Highness's dog at Kew. Pray tell me, sir, whose dog are you? Which is a way of saying he is a royal subject and dissing all the other dogs that are not. We all belong to someone. And those who are called to follow Christ belong to the King, and we are to be attentive to the very movement of the hand of the King. Three images, three pictures, the hills, the city, and then the hand of the master. The call to remember that God is your help and your keeper, that God is your gatherer, and that God is your master who calls you on mission with him in this world. You were created for a destination, a heavenly city. And at the center of that heavenly city sits a royal king. And you will, and I will, along the way, encounter temptation and trials. On the way, there will be messages for us as royal subjects to declare. There will be cities for us to build, but you will need help for the journey. Where will you look to for your help? I was with Joel on Tuesday, and I told him I was going to preach on three psalms. And he said, well, which ones? And I said, well, Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? And he laughed out loud, and he said, that is hilarious. He said, I just was crossing the street. And there was a little woman who looked like she spent her life outdoors with a little cart trying to push across the street, and she got stuck on some little rivet, some little rut. She couldn't move it. And Joel looked at her and said, do you need help? And she said, yeah. Moves aside. Joel couldn't push the cart. Kind of. He could move it. But he said, darn, this thing is heavy. How do you move this thing around? She looked at him and she said, my help is in the Lord. She said, God is my help. And then she quoted Psalm 121 and said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Some woman on the street trusting God to help her push her little cart along. Where will your trust be in this year? You know, Jesus, when he was on his way to Calvary, I want you to picture him for a moment, not even carrying his own cross for a moment and then stumbling. Stumbling, and then Simon of Cyrene carries his cross. The psalm says that someone's foot might not stumble and that he would not be smitten by the sun in the middle of the day. And as Christ is hanging on the cross, the sun is smiting him down, naked. He is smitten. The Roman soldiers smote him with their strength before he went to the cross. And yet, after they put him in the ground, after they crucified him on the hill called Golgotha, the grave could not hold him. Because he looked to his helper, God Almighty, and the Lord God raised him from the dead and gave him new life that he might provide forgiveness for all, mercy for many, help for hundreds and thousands, joy for the city of Jerusalem. 2020 lies ahead, so pilgrim, in 2020 and beyond, may Jesus be your helper, may he be your gatherer, may he be your master, and may you find strength and solidarity in these songs as you sing them towards the celestial city. Let's bow our heads in prayer.